Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 276, part 1, Mount 5. Today is Friday, January 18th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Mount 5. Let us today continue in the Beatitudes, which we said are the very character of Jesus. Today, another character of Jesus is to be merciful. Matthew 5 and 7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain, they shall have, in other words, mercy. Sometimes I listen to people preach and I think they must not need any mercy. Now he's still facing the same crowd that we've been ministering about. Some have left. Some are sightseers. They just came to see who was there. Some were curious. The come-to-be-seeners were soon gone when they heard this message, this humbling message. But anyway, he ministers with authority. Let's go back and review, if you will, for a moment. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. No one wants to have that kind of a spirit. And so the proud and the rich leave, and also the proud and the poor leave. You see, because not only do they have proud flesh, but they have a proud spirit. We start to talk about things in the spirit, we start to talk about things with real power. And those proud spirits can't receive even the kingdom, because it tells them to be less. It tells them to die, drop dead, die daily. Jesus goes on and more leave as he continues. Blessed are they that mourn. Now, I didn't say moan and groan. But when someone else is having a hard time, you sort of moan in your spirit. Oh, you ever done that for someone? You're really having a hard time, see, and you sort of, you wake up in the morning with them on your mind and you sort of moan in your spirit, mourn. It says, for they shall be comforted. And so many wrong mourners leave. There are mourners that just mourn for themselves. They're always moaning and groaning about themselves. Sometimes they moan about insignificant things like having to get out of bed. Why me, God? Mourning for self instead of others. Those who are the most unhappy when you show them they have no reason to be that way, out they stomp. My mother used to say, now get that look off of your face. Is there any good reason why you should look like that? I got by with very little. Let's put them lips back in your face and let's get on with the job at hand here, son. That's where I get a lot of my messages off of my folks. They're realists. Put those two pieces of limp calf liver back in your face. Let's get on with the job at hand here. Time's a-wasting. Woo. And so out they stomp. Just like I stomped out when I heard that from my mother. Come back here, I'm not done with you yet. But he goes on, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And oh, how we hate that word meekness. But see, we don't know what it means in the spiritual realm. It means that in God's economy, in God's time, in God's economy, we can be meek and we can back up and we can turn the other cheek because we have nothing to prove. Something that's inborn in the newborn, born again experience that's brought in through time and trial and tribulation, you learn that the Beatitudes are the attitudes that we should have. Blessed are the meek. Yeah, but hey, we live in the land of machoism. So hard for us as men to be meek. Hey, wimp! And we just, what? But see, if you know where you're at, you've been born again, I don't care if you were the meanest, I mean, you're the baddest, machoest guy. I'm talking Rambo. What's this other guy? Some other guy has bullets over his chest, machine guns, and, huh? Schwartz and something or others. Swart and what, I don't really care. That's okay. Schwartz. See, that's what we think macho is. But macho is being quiet. And someone calls you wimp. You have nothing to prove. Paul, a man from the law, a soldier. They stoned him, they beat him, and he says, put on meekness. Put it on. That means put on Jesus, the character of Jesus. He has nothing to prove. Well, that's easy for you to say, because see, you're pretty near wore out now. Not quite. Not quite. Every once in a while, something raises up on the inside of me. Woof! Now, I know it's the flesh. But I know if I hold back and I hold back and I hold back, that spirit of meekness that Jesus had, it said, be slow to anger. Don't use this. Now, say, I waited 5 minutes and that's enough. Now, don't use this for an occasion for the flesh. But every once in a while, when I see something that's been going wrong and wrong and over and over and over, that spirit of meekness, now the spirit of Jesus comes up, and you're gonna find out that there's a lot of power in that spirit, and people are going to listen when the Spirit of God speaks. Yeah. Jesus whipped them out of the temple. Well, I mean, there were a lot of macho men there. They had a lot to lose. They didn't want to lose their position there of selling these birds and this and the cards and whatever they were selling there. But see, that spirit of meekness, there was a wrath that came. They said, well, this is something different. They ran from that spirit because it was meek. But it had reached its point. And so many leave because they think, well, to be meek is to be weak. Is he for the Romans or what? I thought he came to deliver us from this. But then he lays this one on them. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Well, I don't mind being hungry, but I don't want to hunger and thirst after righteousness. In other words, I don't want to hunger and thirst after God. I'll hunger and thirst after my own self-righteousness and wear these long gowns here that are a quarter of an inch off of the dust. And so at blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, many lose their appetite. That plate, let's call it, of righteousness turns them green. I mean, be nice, but don't go after being right. Oh, that doesn't turn me on at all. And so halfway through the message, the crowd starts to split. They start bubble gumming it out the door. Later for that, I got a lot of living to do. Some time back, ministered to a girl that was in a lot of trouble. This was years back, and she was into the disco scene. And she had somehow got hooked up with a very gangster outfit type of thing. She came and she was fearful and all that, and then she was going to go off to Hollywood, and she said, well, you're going to see me on McCall's fashion page. And I said, let me tell you something. Looking like a greyhound is a dog's life. Child stars, as you probably have recognized, a lot of times they end up in tragedies. Not that it's wrong to go out and do those things, and they do happen. There are Christian movie stars and so on, but I'm saying, if that's what you're seeking, if that's what you're out for and you haven't sought first the kingdom of heaven, you haven't got your orders to do anything yet, and you start to strike out on your own, sort of like the prodigal son, boy, you're in for a real hard time. Still, Jesus thunders on through this mount. Boy, they're splitting like crazy about it now. Blessed are the merciful. Woo, 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 woo. For they, now remember, Jesus is God on earth. And he's got the full spirit. These things that you see me do, you'll do an even greater thing as you do. I don't do these of my own, I'm doing them of the Father. And the Spirit of the Lord is speaking. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So his message goes on. And so to have Jesus is to have his character grow in you. See, you have to grow out of something. You have to grow out of self and grow into Jesus. You have to die to yourself, and the shell comes off, and the kernel of the whole thing, Jesus, comes forth. So now the air is alive with the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine the Spirit of God speaking? Pure? No, I thought, what a beautiful B-E-S. attitude to be. Because all of the Beatitudes, you know why we don't like them a lot of times? And we don't even minister. And in the popular ministry, you never even hear them. Or they'll wangle them around where there's a prophet in it. No suffering at all in it. None, none whatsoever. Oh, that would be too negative. These things that you see me do, you'll even greater things you'll do. And Jesus died, so I don't know, maybe you'll die a more horrible death. Maybe it'll be a greater death. In the physical sense. And so all of these Beatitudes convict us, drive us to our knees, make us go home to pray. But I believe this one is the most searching of them all. It sort of reminds us of our fast judgments. I don't like that guy. Well, how do you know you don't like him? I don't know. It's just something about him. I don't like his face. Face turns me off. And I know people. See those beady eyes? Look at those fingers. Money-grabbing fingers. Yeah. Had an uncle like that every time he'd win at cards. He'd rake all the coins. And his fingers were just, you know those kind of fingers? Those money-grabbing fingers. And we have judgments like that. One person told me, I cannot stand fat people. Well, I said, pray you don't get that way. And they have all these books out now, you know, Jesus wants you skinny. Jesus just wants you. He doesn't care if you're skinny or not. Some of the skinniest people is the meanest people I know. Because they're on them diets, see what I mean? Ooh, I almost feel like they're cannibals sometimes and look at me. You might throw me in a pot and eat me. So much can be said for that. We draw fast judgments on people. I don't like it. There's something about them. My discerners. My discerners tell me something's wrong. Well, Jesus is no respecter of persons. He always finds the good in people. Now, I didn't say you're going to be bosom's buddies with everybody. Sometimes God doesn't want you with certain people because you do have personality clashes. You just don't get along. How many know that's the truth? There's certain people you can't make it with. Why do you think the disciples were split up? Now, you guys are not making it, okay? And you're a bad witness. You're always fighting, going down the road, kicking each other in the legs. Well, you go this way and you go that way. Maybe they got that song from that. You take the high road and I'll take the low road. I'll be in Jerusalem before you. Maybe it reminds us of our hard, no-bend criticism. Sometimes we criticize someone, we find out we've been wrong, and then we won't bend with it. What I have said stands. Well, better back off from it, because it's going to knock you in the head. Maybe it deals with our hard hearts towards another's sufferings. Sometimes we see people suffering. We get a hard heart. Maybe somebody at school is teasing someone you know. Ni-ni-na-ni-no-no. Maybe you think, well, I'll just join in. Ni-ni-na-ni-no-no. Huh? Maybe you harden your heart, and I'm just using it because you're sitting up here. Maybe you harden your heart, you don't say anything. Maybe we don't want to relate with that person because they're getting ninny-nanny-noo-nooed. And so today, see Jesus only. And we get convicted, I believe, when we hear this, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, being merciful is more than shedding just a few tears. Of course, the merciful sometimes do weep. I used to be with me, I'd never weep. Never. Oh, never. You're brought up that way. You're a man now, you don't cry, 3 years old. You're a big boy now. You don't cry, you're sure your foot's been chopped off, but don't weep. and you're disturbing people over here. And so we do weep, but we don't make a big deal out of it. Sometimes we weep so people will see us. Oh, did you see him weep? And the tears are just flowing down his face. Sometimes they're real, sometimes they aren't. You know, crocodiles, I said this before, I'll say it again. Crocodiles, just before they eat you, they have big tears that come out of their eyes. Maybe it's because, gee, why didn't I think of this before? I don't know. But anyway, in the presence of the grief of Martha and Mary over the death of their brother, Jesus cried also. He wept. And when he beheld Jerusalem, it says he wept. And so when Jesus cried, people paid attention. His tears had some kind of meaning in them. They were born of love. They were born of God. But see, those emotions did not exhaust themselves in a flood of tears. In a mere, let's say, flood of tears. Well, we get done crying and say, oh, there, I feel better. Good cry always helps me. The story relates back to ourselves. I needed that. Well, sometimes we do. See, he did far more than weep. He gave himself even over unto death. See, a lot of times people can cry and they don't do anything. You see pictures of things about Ethiopia and the tears will come down and it says, call this number. Forgive me. Then we might ring the number and it's busy. That must be from God. And so we put off and we procrastinate and we forget about it. Go in and wash our face and forget it even happened. Ooh. And so Jesus, he could save and serve, the Bible says, the ones that he wept over. But then some of us weep so easily. With no meaning, no worth, no change. There's no power in them, and they only add to our weakness. They cry and they cry, but they never change. It's like that old steam locomotive. And every time it blew its whistle, it'd have to stop and build up a head of steam again. See, it exhausted itself in one big blast. It had no reserve. Sometimes we get done crying, and man, we have to go to bed. I cried myself out. That's what little babies do that. He cried himself to sleep. We can do that. We can cry ourselves to sleep, and we don't even see anything. Have a good ball, and then we're satisfied with it. Oh, I feel better now. Now I can go shopping. God's seen my tears. I did feel sorry for him. And so through their tears, they lose all their power to help, save, and serve others. But usually in all this type, a lot of times they feel so pious and so righteous because they cry. You ever see people that cry and they cry at the altar? But they just cry at the altar, that's all they do. We'll walk down, and in some churches they do this. Okay, now we're all going to come up to the altar. And so everybody goes up there, and then they name off the things, and everybody gets all real good and guilty over everything, you know what I mean? And they lay these trips on all these people. Then they run up, and they get up there. Who did this? Up there crying and bawling and wailing away. You know what? To me, that's most sickening. Because they aren't going to do anything anyway. As far as they go as getting convicted that they haven't done anything, as soon as they leave, the tears dry, and they go on out and they have a good fight all the way home. I said, shut up. You're telling me to shut up? I'll get out of this car. The car's going 50 miles an hour. I don't care. Doesn't happen? Happens all the time. Let me at least slow down to 45. And they'll come up and they'll bawl and they'll cry. One guy, he cried so much, he looked like I said it before, I'll say it, he looked like one of these little birds with no feathers fell out of the tree. He's got these little poppy, buggy, pink eyes, you know. Oh, I says, man, I says, what's this man crying about? He's always bawling. Did he kill somebody? What's wrong with this guy? And so I watched the guy. I never saw him do one thing but cry. But even caught myself at first. He'd cry, and then I'd had sympathy tears. I thought, oh, man, look at this guy cry. And I'd get tears with him. And finally, I caught myself. I said, what are you crying about? You don't even know what you're crying about. See, they can be contagious, can't they? And so that you get the whole crowd crying, but if they're not doing anything, that's not mercy. That's just crying out to be seen of man. Sort of a crier's club. Self-righteous. Stand back, observe what's going on, but never entering in to the problems before us. Never getting on with the day. Not having enough mercy to make it out the door, make it to work, carry the mercy to work, and carry it through the day. See, their tears led them to no useful solution to the problem. And while the world, even now, starves, cries out with serious health problems and diseases, we become self-righteous onlookers. We just look on. Oh, look at this AIDS problem. Isn't this awful? Well, just stay away from it. Don't use any public restrooms. Go home, spray all your fruit and vegetables. That's what it'll come down to. Lysol them all out and then rinse them in water. People will become so disease conscious, they'll be so busy taking care of themselves, they won't have time to take care of any kind of a leprous situation. So they'll go off someplace and sort of hide. Become so bad, they won't go into assemblies, and they won't go into restrooms, and they won't go into this or that. They'll carry their own portable toilets around. That's not meekness. That's not putting yourself out there on the front. Meekness goes out and says, hey, there's something here. That's not being merciful. That's not being the peacemaker. No, I mean, we have to confront the problem. We have a serious problem here. It's going to take some kind of an aid to take care of these AIDS. Well, where have all the AIDS that are supposed to take care of AIDS gone? They're running around with surgical masks on and funny little tie-on cloth slippers. Don't touch me. How are we ever going to minister to people if we're afraid? It's not mercy. We'll say, oh, that's God's judgment coming on, folks. A lot of people believe that. They won't do anything. Well, just let God have his way until someone in their family gets infected. Until one of their children gets infected. You hearing this? See, we got a great big problem here, and we have a solution to it. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, see? But maybe we're too busy being a moral majority. See what you get for being unmoral? We're immoral. Who says? You say? No, I think these type of tears make the Puffs crowd rich. Have a puff. Red swollen eyes, runny mascara, and lots of whys. Lots of whys going up in prayers. Why, Lord? In the end, it says that there's going to be much pestilence and disease and all of these things. Famine. Earthquakes in diverse places. Now, I've never heard, to my knowledge, there hasn't been too many earthquakes happening in the middle of the United States. But right in the middle of the United States, we're having a Richter scale 5, 5.5 shakes. That's a diverse place. Minneapolis is a diverse place. Pestilence, like in the Moses time, and all those plagues are going to come back one upon the other. But not many prayers going up on how do we get out of this thing? How do you want me to help? How can I fit in? How shall I pray, Lord? The disciples asked, how shall we pray? Show us how to pray. Forgive us our debts as we forgive others. How much do you forgive others? Halfway? Well, then you're only halfway forgiven. No, to be merciful is more than sticking out your old self-righteous self. Being merciful is more than bringing down a bag of dirty, stinking, unwashed laundry and giving it to the poor. Man from the suburbs came and had this huge bag of clothes. Now, he was probably moving, so he had this large bag of stinking clothes. I mean, they smelled like they had been aerobicked out. And he brought this great big bag. I says, now, see, when you bring clothes and you're going to give them to somebody, don't bring them your dirty laundry. Would you like to go in the store? Now, you have money. Would you like to go in the store and they have clothes hanging there? And you, man, what stinks in here? Well, they're clothes, but we marked 20% off on them. Hey, Rambo wore these. In the jungle with these babies. They're worth dough. I mean, important people wore these clothes. Swartz wore them. And I'm just using those names because they work up a good sweat. Huh? No, when you bring something, that's not mercy to bring down a great big bag of your dirty laundry. It's like bringing someone your toothbrush. Isn't that awful? And we say, well, I brought down some clothes. Oh, I take clothes to the poor all the time. We don't think much of folks when we do things like that. We don't think much of ourselves.
There you have it. That was episode 276, part 1 of Mount 5. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
To England or France, you may like to gamble, you might like to dance, you may be the heavyweight champion of the world, you may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage, money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a state trooper, it may be a young Turk, maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home, might be living in a mansion, you might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord, you may even own banks, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. It may be somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread, maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve,
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve.
It may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Now you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ, you may call me Ray. You may call me anything, no matter what you say. Still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.